Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Welcome to Encouragementology. We are talking about getting out of the rain and moving on. When it rains, it pours, doesn't it? Some of us feel the tiniest raindrop and we run for cover. And others get drenched, knowing we should seek shelter, but are unable to move. Self-doubt, a misguided sense of responsibility, past failures, worry, fear, you name it. We're stuck. Taking a risk, calculated or not, and moving on can be one of the hardest things to do. With it comes a storm of what ifs to go and what if to stay. But here's a what if. What if there are smooth sailing and sunshine right around the corner? What if it's been waiting for you to arrive this whole time? What took you so long? I'm a visual learner, a storyteller per se. I use a lot of weather, landscapes, and acts of nature to represent the trials that we face in our lives. I might mention a journey or a winding road that straightens out when you grow in your own self-discovery. My favorite quote is, "She stood in the middle of the storm, and when the wind didn't blow her way, she adjusted her sails." Visually, that says so much to me. I can weather whatever life throws at me. And when things aren't going my way, I find my own wind. I will take action to make things happen. Storms are a great metaphor for life. You can see dark clouds or warning signs that tell you things could get rocky ahead. You hear thunder and even see lightning amplifying the potential for trouble brewing. Soft, gentle rain can turn violent with destructive winds. How can you marry your situation with a weather forecast? It might sound like this. Looks like gray skies today, but sunny days are on their way. Or, take cover now, a hurricane is coming. We've all stayed in the rain a little too long before moving on. Let's talk about what possesses us to endure the obvious and what we need to motivate a change. Then let's look at the benefits of moving on. Not just hoping for a clear day, but seriously getting to a place of acceptance, letting go, and moving on. Ready to control the weather? Are you in a situation right now? Quick, the first one that came to your mind, think about that one. It could be a romantic relationship that has seen more lows than highs, or a work situation that is less than fulfilling. Whatever your storm, why are you standing in the rain? I'm not saying it's easy. Lord knows that's not what I'm saying. No, seriously, he knows. He saw me drowning and threw me a line. The quote I mentioned is something I aspire to have, not something I've always possessed. The turning point for me was admitting that I couldn't do everything. Yes, I said it. I can't do everything. And not for a lack of trying, but at some point you have to admit defeat and let go of the control you think you have and try something new. Instead of trying and failing at fixing everyone else, I decided to fix me. 6 years ago, I put myself first. I'm going to leave a dramatic pause at the end of that because it doesn't happen for most of us very often. Putting yourself first seems selfish and egotistical. I've always heard you can't help others until you help yourself, but I never fully knew what that meant. Remember, I was stuck in the delusion that I could do anything. Taking care of me didn't mean getting my hair or my nails done or a nice massage. It meant listening and responding to my needs. I had to get in touch with who I am and who I wanted to be. I had to explore my own fears and insecurities to create a plan to even get there. This doesn't happen overnight, but it's the first step to getting out of the rain. Make the decision that you are worth more. Accept the fact that the only person you can save is you. grab an umbrella and the rest will be a meaningful discovery. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there could be trouble. And if I stay, there could be double. We've all heard it, right? Geez, there's no way out of that. Well, here are five questions to ask yourself from Positively Present. Whether it's leaving a job, a romantic relationship, or a friendship, the decision to stay where you are or make a change can be incredibly daunting, particularly if there's no urgent reason to leave, like if you're not being treated badly or you don't absolutely have to get out of the situation. Just because there's no dire need to escape a situation doesn't mean you should necessarily stay. After all, the time we have here is limited, and spending time in situations or with people that are just okay, fine, or average isn't any way to live a positive, fulfilled, and happy life. The question to stay or to go is something most of us will face at some point in our lives, if we haven't already. Unless there is some clear indicator that something must change, like abuse, profound misery, etc., actually making such a choice can be incredibly difficult. So difficult, in fact, that many of us will default to staying where we are, even if we're unhappy, simply because it's easier than making a decision. So ask yourself these questions. Question one, how much of your happiness is caused by a specific person, job, situation, etc.? It's all too easy to say, I'm miserable because my job sucks, or I'm so unhappy because my spouse drives me crazy. But it's important not to make assumptions about the reasons behind your mental state. When you find yourself complaining about your situation, dig deeper and ask yourself if it's really that person, job, or situation that's bringing you down. For example, if you're unhappy with your spouse, are you absolutely certain that your spouse specifically is the reason you're unhappy? Or could it be the situation you and your spouse are currently in? Maybe you just had a baby. Maybe you're going through a tough time at work. Or looking even deeper, is it possible that your sense of unhappiness comes not from another person, but from something deeper, something harder to pinpoint? So you point fingers instead of looking at the big picture. It's essential to figure out if your unhappiness is more general. Take, for example, your work in an office environment with a typical 9-to-5 day. You're miserable. You complain about the job itself and spend your evenings crying at the thought of returning the next day. You are clearly unhappy, but maybe that happiness isn't a result of the particular position, but the general workplace environment that causes your emotional strife. Think about it that way. Dig deeper. If you're struggling with a particular person or situation, consider how much of your unhappiness is tied to that person, place, and consider whether the type of environment is even something you want in the future. If you're unhappy at work, do you need an entirely new career path? If you're unhappy with your partner, is it because of them or the confines of your relationship in general? The thing that's troubling you truly, what is it? Question two, are you contributing negatively to the situation? Would changing yourself change things? After contemplating whether the situation or person is, in fact, the true case of your unhappiness, it's time to turn your attention to yourself. Are you in any way contributing to your own unhappiness in the situation? Answering this question might take some careful consideration. It's very tempting to say, "Of course I'm not. She's the one who says is always negative." Or definitely not. My boss is absolute worse. I'm not doing anything to make the situation unpleasant. It's all him. But take a moment to really consider all aspects of the situation, including your contribution to it. For example, you're struggling to live pleasantly with your spouse. Ask yourself if perhaps you might be difficult to live with too. Or if it's your work environment that's troubling, consider how you might, in some ways, be challenging to work with. We all have our flaws, and when it comes to answering the stay or go question, it's important to take these into account. This isn't to say that you should stay in a bad situation simply because you're not perfect, but it's important to consider all the aspects of yourself before making any major decisions. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. We know this, right? And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. Right? If you're always fighting with your spouse because he expects you to keep things neat and tidy, and you tend to be more of a set it anywhere type, consider what might happen if you tweaked your own behavior and started making organization a priority. This isn't to say that you should change who you are to fix a situation, but when it comes to workplace, relationships, and love, or really any situation involving other people, sometimes compromises must be made. The key to compromising effectively is making sure that the pros and cons balance out. Yes, keeping your home tidy might be a bit of a pain for you, but the effort might be balanced by having a more harmonious relationship with your spouse. Sometimes changing your behavior or attitude won't change the situation at all, but it's definitely something to consider. Question 3. What about your situation don't you like? Would you find these things elsewhere? In question 1, you determine that yes, the great deal of discontent you're experiencing is directly a result of the person, job, or situation. If you didn't determine that, it might be a sign that you shouldn't leave the situation, but instead should do some inner exploration to find out where these feelings of discontent are coming from. You've determined the source of unhappiness, the situation or person, but now it's time to dig even deeper and pinpoint exactly what you don't like about the situation. A good way to do this is to keep a list of reasons why you feel unhappy in the situation. Remember, keep this private. You can note very specific instances such as, I want to leave this job because I can't stand the way my colleagues gossip in our meetings. Or more general experiences such as, I want to leave her because there's a lack of intimacy. Spend time on this, giving yourself a week or so to note specific and general experiences that make you feel like you might want to leave the situation. Once you have a list of things you don't like about your situation, look closely at them. Are these things that would be present in another situation? For example, if a decrease in intimacy is your problem, is it possible that this would happen if you were in another relationship for a long time? Or if you dislike working on projects with a group at work, is it likely you would have to do something like this at another job? Remember, a new job, relationship, etc., will always be interesting and exciting at the beginning, but it too will lose some of its luster after time. This is why it's so important to look closely at the things you don't like about your situation and determine whether they are a result of a particular circumstance or if they might also occur in another situation. No situation is perfect. And if you try to leave every situation as soon as it's lost some excitement or newness, you'll spend your whole life searching for a reason to leave. Question 4. What do you like about your situation? Would you find these good things elsewhere? Now it's time for some positivity. When you're considering whether to stay or go, it can be challenging to focus on the good aspects of the situation. By the time you've gotten around to asking, should I leave, you're often focusing on a great deal of your attention on the reasons why you're unhappy. These reasons might be perfectly valid and should not be ignored. But what about the good aspects of the situation? It's important to see the good and bad of any situation. Let's say you've come up with tons of reasons why you want to leave your job. Now it's time to make another list. You know me and my lists. A list of reasons why your job is actually not so terrible. On this list, you might include things like healthcare benefits or steady income, or even something silly like occasional catered lunches. If you're considering whether to leave a relationship, now it's time to consider your partner's good traits. What do you like about them? What attracted you to the relationship in the first place? What do you two not fight about? Have you ever thought about that? After you've considered the positive elements of your situation, it's time to contemplate how likely it is that you'll find these things in another person or job. Yes, another relationship might have more intimacy, but will it always have the meaningful conversations? A new job might have a kinder boss, but will the benefits be the same? Of course, you don't know what the future will hold or the pros and cons you'll find in another situation, but it's important to assess how much you value what you're currently getting out of your situation and weigh the positive against the negatives. Sound fair? Question 5. How can you communicate your feelings? What reaction do you receive when you do? This final question is most important. People often leave situations because they feel unloved, unappreciated, or unheard. But there's a difference between feeling unheard after you've spoken up and expecting someone else to know what you want and need. Communication is key here. Whether it's talking to your boss, friend, spouse, or partner, if you want things to be different, you have to talk about it. This can be very difficult, particularly if it's around sensitive subjects like sex or money. But communicating your feelings is the quickest way to determine if there's a good reason to stay or leave. The key to communicating effectively is to be open, honest, and focus on sharing how you feel without making assumptions about another's feelings or assigning blame. Here's 2 tips for doing this. Write down what you want to discuss and bring your notes with you. And focus on the word I more than you, as in, I feel hurt when you, not you're always doing this. Being completely honest with someone, whether it's a boss, friend, or partner, is much more difficult than it sounds. But if there's a doubt in your mind whether or not you should leave a situation, you'll be much more certain about your decision if you share your feelings with 100% honesty, even if it feels a bit uncomfortable. Then listen. Not for the next break so that you can prove your point. Truly listen and try to understand where the person is coming from. If you're confused or need more clarification, ask them to go deeper to help you understand. Open, honest communication will not only give you and others an opportunity to see if there's a way to fix the situation. Maybe your boss had no idea you felt you weren't being valued. But opening up and sharing your feelings is an excellent way to get more insight on others, possibly making your decision even easier. The way others react to you, listening, helping to problem solve, shutting you out, making unkept promises to change, etc., will tell you a great deal about them and how they handle conflict. And it might also shine a light on how they feel about the situation. For example, your boss or partner makes no effort to help you improve the situation. That's a sure sign that they don't value you and would be better off if the situation was different. Pay close attention to how others respond and take those reactions into account as you make your decision. Not every situation can be so judicious. Sometimes every act of nature is being thrown in your direction and you aren't willing to accept that you are in the eye of the storm by your own doing. It's called denial, and it doesn't mean you're stupid or defiant. In most cases, you believe you're helping. As twisted as that may sound, especially when you say it out loud to a trusted friend or worse, a stranger who doesn't know the backstory, you feel a sense of responsibility for someone else's happiness and emotional well-being. Now, we all want to be helpful, and we all want to be liked, but the person drenched to the bone because they won't seek shelter is a person who believes they have more control than they do. Joseph Wilner from You Have a Calling wrote more about this in Free Yourself by Letting Go of What You Can't Control. What is the paradox of control? Well, the more we try to control things, the less control we experience. Things will inevitably be different than we expect and can change in an instant. When we can embrace the things that are ever-changing, we begin to loosen our grip on the many areas of our life we try to hold or sway over. When we desire control and don't have it, It leads to worry and agitation. We become irrational and start thinking about all the negative things that could happen. The more control we crave, the more we begin to live from fear and desperation. So here are a few ideas to help you let go. This is an important question to ask yourself to help you let go of the emotional burden that comes with a desire for control. Ask yourself, is this a situation where I can't change or I won't change? Sometimes we feel like we can't make a change. I can't quit my job. I can't give up this salary. I can't get into college. I can't. Statements such as these set us up to feel out of control. Usually it's not that we can't, but that we won't. When we can accept we won't change, it makes it much easier to let go and move forward. From this perspective, we have a choice in the matter. When we don't feel in control, it's easy to focus on what's going wrong and how terrible things are. We start to feel disempowered and lose perspective on our capabilities. By learning to focus on what's going right and not letting our situation consume our thoughts, we not only experience less distress, but we'll be able to think more clearly and problem solve more effectively. Mindfulness is an approach to experiencing life moment by moment. When we're mindful, we can deal with our situation without being judgmental or critical of ourselves. When we feel unpleasant, we don't have to get caught up in this. We can relax and step back instead of brooding in this negative state. Work to be mindful of your breath. Just pay attention to your natural breathing. You can also be mindful of your senses on your thoughts. The goal is to remain present and non-judgmental of what's taking place. Being aware can help simplify a situation and make it even easier to deal with. Visualization is one of the most powerful ways to overcome fears and push past uneasiness. All successful musicians, athletes, and performers visualize themselves completing the task that awaits them. Visualization is different than simply daydreaming or fantasizing about an outcome we desire. We must take action and put in the work necessary to make change. Despite what is taking place at the time, we can visualize a successful outcome. This will give us psychological and emotional support to stay motivated and able to persevere. It will also keep our thinking focused on what we desire and prevent us from feeling overwhelmed and panicked. Have you ever noticed that things aren't going the way that we planned, and even the smallest things can start to cause stress? When under stress, we become overly serious and neglect the many moments of pleasure and gratification that surround us. Humor can really cut tension and lighten up a difficult situation. When things seem bleak, looking at things from a humorous perspective can help lighten the load. Look for humor in serious situations and use this as a tool to release your grip on control. When life seems completely out of control, there's always something amiss the chaos that can help us rein a sense of control. It may be something very small, and if nothing else, we can always try to learn to control our attitude, right? We can't control everything that takes place, but we can learn to focus on what we can do personally to make a change. This helps us move beyond a victim mentality and feel empowered to take action. Once you shift your perspective and accept a clear and honest picture of where you are, why you are there, and how to make the right decision, it's time to focus on you. Moving on is moving to a different vantage point for your life. Instead of being in the ditch, digging away without direction, you are ready to be more strategic and develop a blueprint for what you want your life to look like. Let the fun begin. Guess what? Just in case you're looking over your shoulder, fearful that you've moved on too quickly while drenched to the bone of all the second, nay, endless chances you've given, they will be just fine. Really, they will. We all have a life to lead, and that includes trials, tribulations, success, and failure. We are all meant to walk through these without being carried. Jennifer Lynn Sannon from Live Purposely Now reminds us why it's important to put ourselves first. your energy level. You've probably heard the phrase, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Well, it has merit. If your cup is empty, then you can't give any energy to another person. So take time to check your cup level. This way, you can be there for another person in the best form and in your most giving manner. On airplanes, they always remind us, put on your oxygen mask first and then help someone else. So put yourself first. Again, same philosophy here. You can't save anyone if you're not breathing yourself. So this is reiterating the need to take care of yourself first. What's your physical condition? When it comes to your health, it's always essential to put yourself first. That way, we can be in our best physical condition to do the things we want to do in life. So this example of putting yourself first in the area of nutrition, exercise, and sleep is a no-brainer, right? We all do these things naturally every day, don't we? Not really. Ask yourself this question. Do you sometimes overlook your own needs to take care of other things for other people? What we do every day makes an impact in our lives now and in the future. So making those mindful, conscious, healthy decisions is the key to a better life. Not to mention, we inspire others by our living example of how we take care of ourselves. What about our mental state? This is essential because we all strive to create a living environment that nurtures a peaceful existence. We live busy lives. We wear many different hats as roles in our daily routine. And we allow the external factors of the life around us to intrude upon our mental consciousness. If we take some time to practice our inner connection with our source of life, then we are refreshed, inspired, and ready to spread joy to others. Another reminder that you should put yourself first. No one wants to be around a person who drains them, complains, and sets negativity as the center topic of discussion. I think the best mental defense is to commit to being inspired, empowered, and passionately driven to do our life task. We can achieve great things when we are mentally clear on our inner purpose and our inner spiritual connection. How do you feel when you don't put yourself first? There's a question to ask. Emotionally, we sometimes forget ourselves as well. We tend to judge ourselves on the reactions of others, comparing ourselves, and leaving us disappointed on our own personal efforts. One remedy for that is stop comparing. Develop your own internal assessment of how you feel. And when you need a boost, have a set of mental tools ready, like a box of treasures that you can reach for when you desire inspiration, love, and hope. I'm convinced that when we take care of our emotional state of being, then we are able to help others. When they go through the roller coaster journey of life's ups and downs, we can be there. These steps will let you help others and yourself. In the end, we all benefit from companionship, compassion, and commitment to making positive impacts on the lives we touch and the people we love. So make a decision right now. Keep doing it until it becomes a habit. Put yourself first, and you'll discover it's in everyone's best interest that you do. Thank you for sticking with me and talking about some tough situations. Standing in the rain for too long and being unable to move. We've all been there. So I hope this didn't beat you up, but instead shed a light on some things that you might not have considered. Sometimes it can be habitual, you know? We really feel like we're doing the right thing. We're giving a second chance. We're giving it our all. We're going to be the last man standing. We're going down with the ship. But that's not really valiant, and that's not taking care of yourself. You deserve better. But I can say it all day long, and it's going to take you wanting something different. You know, trying the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. What do they call that? That's right, insanity. But it's easier said than done. Dr. Eileen Strauss-Cohen wrote an article for Psychology Today, Important Tips on How to Let Go and Free Yourself. You know, some of this makes total sense. Understand that the relationships you thought you'd have are going to be different than the ones you actually have, right? We must accept the person we are in this moment and the way other people are too. At times, we continue to learn that things don't always go as planned. Actually, they pretty much never do. Don't be invested in the outcome when it comes to dealing with people because it often leads to disappointment. Expectations have a way of keeping us stuck because they lead us to fear certain outcomes. There are no guarantees in life, and there's nothing we can really do to get the outcomes we desire when dealing with others. Your expectations are just that. They're your expectations. Don't live in chains when you have the key. We live with self-limiting beliefs that we let define who we are. We think, I could never do that, or I could never make that happen. If you truly believe that, you'll never accomplish anything. Open up your mind and believe in yourself. Let go of the idea that you can control others' actions. We really only have control over ourselves and the way that we act and react. You can't change another person, so don't waste your time or your energy. Believe me. I wish somebody would have really hammered that home much earlier in my life. Only worry about what you think of yourself. Remember those four agreements? Don't take anything personally. Free yourself from being controlled by what other people think. Start to prioritize how you feel about yourself. As Mahatma Gandhi said, happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. Leave room for mistakes. Did you make a mistake or say something stupid? Well, it's okay. Use the experience to learn and make a joke out of it. It doesn't make you stupid to say something wrong or silly. It makes you human and sometimes even funny. Accept the things you cannot change. Stop wishing things could be the way they once were. Bring yourself into the present moment. This is where life happens. You can't change the past. You can only make decisions today that will help you turn your future into something different. Don't take yourself too seriously. This will allow you to relax and enjoy life's journey. I laugh at myself, actually all the time. Do what scares you. Fear holds us back from doing a lot of things because it closes our mind to possibilities of our future and locks us into our comfort zone. Most fears fill us with doubt and what-ifs that imprison us. The more you do to get out of your comfort zone, the more fear will subside. Express what works for you. Find your voice and share with others what you're thinking and feeling in a rational way. If you continue to communicate with others what works for you and doesn't work for you, you'll no longer bottle up your emotions. Allow yourself to feel negative emotions. Whether you lost a loved one through death or a breakup, honor your loss. Trying to ignore your negative emotions will extend your suffering. Loss is difficult to experience, and it's okay to allow yourself to hurt and be sad. Let yourself feel, go through the grief, and then move forward. Learn forgiveness. Resentment and unwillingness to forgive will keep you locked in the past and prevent you from moving forward with your life. Remember, when you forgive, you aren't doing it for the other person. You're doing it for yourself. If for no other reason than that, forgive and let go. So I challenge you, grab an umbrella and a moment to evaluate the situation. Don't accept unhappy as the problem instead of the symptom. Dig deeper and then get a better vantage point to chart out your next move. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Stumble through until the path was clear. That's when I found